It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Unfortunately, Midtown Manhattan has now been hit by these looters. There are stores all over the place that have been ransacked. I'm standing right in front of the Sephora store, and you can see behind me, Sephora tried to, you know, put a barrier up, this plywood, but obviously the looters, they got through, they broke through the glass, and they got it, and they stole a bunch of stuff, and you can still see some of that all over the place. And as you mentioned, it was a very violent night. You were talking about those police officers attacked. Again, in Bronx, dramatic video showing that sergeant struck by a black sedan near a call of a possible break-in. Apparently, there was break-ins there as well, and he, thankfully, in stable condition now. The people, though, in the car, they got away. Another officer beat up on the street in plain view. Just hard to watch that as well. Looters smashing their way through luxury stores in Manhattan, including the Macy's flagship store in Midtown. Guys, you'll remember this store from all the famous holiday movies. It was all smashed up and ransacked. Now, all of this happened before New York City's curfew even went into effect at 11 o'clock. Leaders have been trying to send a pretty strong message to those looters that are ransacking these businesses and inciting violence. And includes one of New York's top cops, Chief Terrence Monahan, actually was on video here kneeling with protesters in solidarity. Listen to what he said about these violent looters.
That 5 days of war here that needs to end. It has to end today. Tonight, when that sun goes down, peaceful protesters go home. Leave it out to those who want to cause damage, and we'll get rid of them. We'll get rid of those that are ruining your neighborhoods.
That was Aisha Nahazi of Fox News this morning. New York was hit hard again last night. Some say it was worse than the first night. There were just roving gangs. Gangs would be an understatement, like many, many platoons of rioters marching through the streets. I saw them last night before I came to bed, and no, there was hardly any police presence. And I just want to, by contrast, play for you the comments of the mayor of New York City. The mayor of New York City, this is what he had to say. He was his daughter was participating in these demonstrations, and this is what he had to say. Clip 6.
My final point before turning to Commissioner Shea. As has been reported, my daughter Kiara was arrested at a protest. I want you first to know, and I think many, many parents can appreciate this, she's 25 years old and did not inform Shirlane and I of her intention to get arrested. I knew of some of her views. I knew she believed in peaceful protest. I knew she had participated a few nights ago, but in a peaceful manner. And when I found out she had been arrested, finally reached her with Shirlane, and we asked her to recount the whole story. And look, I love my daughter deeply. I honor her. She is such a good human being. She only wants to do good in the world. She wants to see a better and more peaceful world. She believes a lot of change is needed. I'm proud of her that she cares so much and she was willing to go out there and do something about it. She recounted the story in detail to me. She was acting peacefully. She believes that everything she did was in the spirit of peaceful, respectful protest. And the bottom line is, I will let her speak for herself in any way that she wants to, but I admire that she was out there trying to change something that she thought was unjust and doing it in a peaceful manner.
Yeah. All right. So we don't really know what his daughter was doing, but she says she thinks, as long as she thinks she was doing something peaceful, that's all that matters. Well, that's another issue. Maybe she was very peacefully out there, like Keith Ellison's The Attorney General of Minnesota's son was tweeting his support of Antifa. And now we have, of course, a picture of Keith Ellison smiling and holding up a book that glorifies Antifa. Yeah, so we see that these are the people in charge, the Attorney General of Minnesota, the mayor of New York. And so the president yesterday unloaded on governors. He said that they were weak. He said that you have to dominate. If you don't dominate, you're wasting your time. They're going to run over you. You're going to look like a bunch of jerks. You have to dominate. He said that officials need to arrest and track those involved. You have to put them in jail for 10 years and you'll never see this stuff again. On Monday, he called out Minneapolis, the epicenter of the unrest, saying the whole world is laughing at the decision to allow rioters to burn a police station. You're making a mistake because you're making yourself look like fools. And some have done a great job, but a lot of you, it's not. It's not a great day for your country. Have it under much more control. We're going to pull in thousands of people. And so the president is signaling to them, the governors and all the leaders, that they've got to be stronger than this. Of course, we know what side they're on. A lot of these governors and mayors. De Blasio is he has always been and continues to be a leftist, maybe even an official communist. I don't know if I know that that's what he embraces, communist viewpoints. And so no wonder that they're happy to let these anarchists destroy their city, and they're destroying New York. All right, so by contrast, last night in D.C., things changed a little bit. Kevin Cork was out on the city streets before the president spoke. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Yeah, I can hear you. What we're looking at right now is obviously they've decided, when I say they, I'm talking about law enforcement officials, they've decided to clear this area. They've come up Madison, which is just to the east of Lafayette Park, and a really large contingent of them, and they're now moving west along H Street. They walk about 10 paces or so, then they stop and recollect. You probably can notice there's obviously a great deal of smoke in the air. They've been firing pepper balls at the crowd. I also see lots of horses in the second line as they continue to advance. The crowd will run on occasion and retreat, and then, of course, they'll come right back and move once the law enforcement officials decide they want to move them out. We were told earlier today that this was a distinct possibility, that they really wanted to funnel this group away from this area as we got closer to curfew. We're going to try to get a little bit closer and see what we can. As you can see right there, Brett, the crowd is literally right in front of law enforcement, and here they come advancing again. They're running, and we're on the move. We're jogging backwards to stay out of the way.
All right, so that was Kevin Cork last night, just to give you a feel of what was happening in D.C. But bottom line, rioters didn't win last night in D.C. Even helicopters were called out last night, and they were held at bay. President Trump went into the White House and gave a speech last night, and I want you to hear it because I don't know if you did, and you need to hear what your commander-in-chief had to say about it. Let's listen.
My fellow Americans, my first and highest duty as president is to defend our great country and the American people. I swore an oath to uphold the laws of our nation, and that is exactly what I will do. All Americans were rightly sickened and revolted by the brutal death of George Floyd. My administration is fully committed that for George and his family, justice will be served. He will not have died in vain. But we cannot allow the righteous cries and peaceful protesters to be drowned out by an angry mob. The biggest victims of the rioting are peace-loving citizens in our poorest communities. And as their president, I will fight to keep them safe. I will fight to protect you. I am your president of law and order, and an ally of all peaceful protesters. But in recent days, our nation has been gripped by professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others. A number of state and local governments have failed to take necessary action to safeguard their residents. Innocent people have been savagely beaten, like the young man in Dallas, Texas, who was left dying on the street. or the woman in upstate New York viciously attacked by dangerous thugs. Small business owners have seen their dreams utterly destroyed. New York's finest have been hit in the face with bricks. Brave nurses who have battled the virus are afraid to leave their homes.
All right, that's just the first part. And actually, guys, we're going to hold the break. We're going to play this entire speech because I want you to hear it. And I want you to know that the president was advised by some of those closest to him not to go out. They wanted him to stay quiet. They wanted him to let the governors handle this. And he refused. He came out and made this speech last night, and we're going to listen to it now. Clip 11.
A police precinct has been overrun here in the nation's capital. The Lincoln Memorial and the World War II Memorial have been vandalized. One of our most historic churches was set ablaze. A federal officer in California, an African-American enforcement hero, was shot and killed. These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror. The destruction of innocent life and the spilling of innocent blood is an offense to humanity and a crime against God. America needs creation, not destruction. Cooperation, not contempt. Security, not anarchy. Healing, not hatred. Justice, not chaos. This is our mission, and we will succeed 100%. We will succeed. Our country always wins. That is why I am taking immediate presidential action to stop the violence and restore security and safety in America. I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson, and to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans, including your Second Amendment rights. Therefore, the following measures are going into effect immediately. First, we are ending the riots and lawlessness that has spread throughout our country. We will end it now. Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them.
All right, that's he's not finished. And, of course, he started doing that. Even he put Mark Milley in charge. And they, last night, as I said to you, D.C. was relatively, let's just say, incident-free. I'm not saying they weren't out on the streets, but the overwhelming show of force in D.C. was able to stop most of the damage destruction that would have taken place last night. And these are his concluding remarks. Let's listen.
I am also taking swift and decisive action to protect our great capital, Washington, D.C. What happened in this city last night was a total disgrace. As we speak, I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property. We are putting everybody on warning. Our 7 o'clock curfew will be strictly enforced. Those who threaten innocent life and property will be arrested, detained, and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I want the organizers of this terror to be on notice that you will face severe criminal penalties and lengthy sentences in jail. This includes Antifa and others who are leading instigators of this violence. One law and order, and that is what it is. One law. We have one beautiful law. And once that is restored and fully restored, we will help you We will help your business, and we will help your family. America is founded upon the rule of law. It is the foundation of our prosperity, our freedom, and our very way of life. But where there is no law, there is no opportunity. Where there is no justice, there is no liberty. Where there is no safety, there is no future. We must never give in to anger or hatred. If malice or violence reigns, then none of us is free. I take these actions today with firm resolve and with a true and passionate love for our country. By far, our greatest days lie ahead. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to pay my respects to a very, very special place. Thank you very much.
All right. And with that, the president concluded his remarks. You guys can start the bumper. And he began to walk across the street to St. John's Cathedral or Church, the one that they tried to burn down two nights ago, that historic church built in, what, 1805, where every president since, I think, Madison has been in that church for some sort of a celebration or service before they take their place as president of the United States. It was just disgraceful. The president went over and held a Bible up and made some more remarks. This is what the president is doing. Of course, he's being criticized for it. Of course he is. Of course he is. But I want to tell all of you, he did that, again, against the advice of some of his closest advisors. He made that statement, and he put those things into effect. And we need to pray for him. Of course, he's not the only person we need to pray for. Several policemen were shot last night, three at least in St. Louis, and other places too. Some have been killed. And we're going to talk about that with my husband, Bruce Rather, the former FBI agent, is coming to join us in just a second. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Every day, babies in their mothers' wombs are fighting for life, with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for President Donald Trump. During this time of national unrest, we look to the Lord to guide the president as he makes decisions concerning the safety and security of our nation. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, reminds us of the importance of praying for our leaders. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide President Trump. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
I have a few observations about the weekend's unrest. For months now, the mainstream media has been publicly shaming law-abiding Americans for going to public parks and beaches. Those who refused to wear a mask were ridiculed, banned from department stores, public gatherings. But over the weekend, hundreds of thousands of Americans took to the streets in defiance of those regulations. And I could not help but notice not a single national news reporter stopped to ask one of those rioters why they were not social distancing. Not a single looter was asked why they were not wearing face masks. Clearly, this weekend's rioting has proven the stay-at-home orders and quarantines were more about politics than protection. So I call on business owners across the fruited plain to reopen their restaurants and their barbershops and their clothing stores and their bookshops. If the government's going to allow looters to pillage and plunder, they also should allow business owners to engage in commerce. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Not quite the scene in New York, but we had more protests and arrests last night. Shortly after a curfew went into effect at 7 p.m., we saw the law enforcement footprint increased heavily here. Now, we saw a sight that we normally don't see in Washington, D.C., and that is this of a military helicopter flying low over downtown D.C., tracking the protesters' movement, all a part of the president's vow to crack down on the mayhem.
I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property.
The massive law enforcement deployed to try and stop and protect the businesses and the government buildings and monuments from rioting and looting as protesters swarmed down on the National Mall here behind me. We're, of course, in Lafayette Park, which also saw protest action. The president vowing to knock the governors in line, if you will, threatening to send in the military if they did not do more to, quote, dominate the streets. Now, there was a scene here yesterday that is a historic one, and that is when the president, after those Rose Garden remarks, decided to walk from the White House through Lafayette Park, where we are, all the way here to St. John's Historic Church. It's drawing all sorts of comments. Many thought it was good. The D.C. Bishop here saying that it wasn't what she wanted to see. Let me show you the scene, though, real quickly. You can see here around St. John's Church, things are calm. The heavy police presence. Now, we can't get into Lafayette Park. Secret Service has locked it down. Perhaps when the curfew lifts at 6 a.m., it can come up. But you see more media there as well. That's the scene. Fortunately, a quieter night, but we'll see what tonight brings, guys.
All right, that was Griff Jenkins just this morning on Fox and Friends. Sandy Rios back with you. On the other side, you know, there's George Floyd. You know, the man who really was died at the hands of a policeman. We watched that. It was unbearable, really. But it seems as though many have forgotten, you know, that what we're out about. And I think that George Floyd's brother probably put it best. He says, "My brother was about peace." He says, "I want to just go crazy, but I'm here." My brother wasn't about that. My brother was about peace. You'll hear a lot of people say he was a gentle giant. Don't tear up your town. All of this is not necessary, because if his own family and blood is not doing it, then why are you? If his own family and blood are trying to deal with it and be positive about it and go another route to seek justice, then why are you out there tearing up your community? Because when you're finished and turn around and want to go buy something, you done tore it up. So now you messed up your own living arrangement. So just relax. Justice will be served. Do something positive. Stop making excuses. And that's what I feel is going on. They're using this as an excuse to be stupid. That's what George Floyd's brother had to say, in part. He said a lot of other things besides that. And I think many do feel that George Floyd is being forgotten in this. And it's being used as an excuse. And we're going to get into that, I hope, in just a little bit about who's behind all of this. I've told you a little bit about that, but we're going to go into a lot more detail. Last night, because this one policeman, by the way, he's on suicide watch where he's being held in Minnesota. And isn't that sad? I mean, is this not the nature of sin? Remember that the enemy, and I mean Satan himself, always seeks complete and total destruction. He goads people into doing wicked things, and they do because of their own inclinations, but then it all turns back on them. And so he seeks total destruction of all the people involved, the people that cooperate with the wickedness. And we're seeing that on the streets. Boy, some things I last night, I'll just give you a couple of examples. In the last couple of 24 hours in Portland, there was a man in the street carrying an American flag. He's an older guy. And so these rioters attack him. They're almost all white. Yeah, they're all white. It's not, you know, black outrage or the George Floyd, grieving over George Floyd. It's a lot of other things. And so they beat him. He never lets go of the flag. And while he's being beaten, this younger guy runs over and tries to defend him. Well, the crowd's not having that. And so they chase his defender down the street. They jump. I read what journalist Andy Ngo had to say. By the way, Andy's the one who was beaten himself by Antifa in Portland, and he's still writing about this and just as adamantly. Andy's a gay Vietnamese reporter. It's just to give you some background. Journalist Andy Ngo reported Sunday that a mob had knocked a man unconscious, then kicked him as he lay bleeding in the street. You should see the shot of this white kid launching his foot. This guy is out on his stomach, and this kid, at like he's kicking a football, launches his foot right into his head while he's obviously he's not even moving. He kicks him right in the head. Okay, so Andy Ngo says then kicked him as he lay bleeding in the street, and after he tried to help another man who had been assaulted after bringing the U.S. flag to a Portland protest. The violence erupted among a mostly white crowd as a protest against racial injustice following the death last week of George Floyd. On May 30th, a man brought an American flag to an Antifa Black Lives Matter protest, later riot. He is confronted and then sucker punched by a man wearing a blank Trump shirt. The mob rushed in to beat him. He never let go of the flag. Portland police did not help. Notably, one member of the mob carried a Mexican flag. And then what they do is, you can see it, it's just about as hard to watch as the one about George Floyd was, except George died. This guy lived. But you see his teeth knocked out in the ground. And they start shouting him. They knocked his blank, blank, blank out. One protester taunted over him. Black Lives Matter, blank, yelled another one. And so that's the way it's going in the streets. And I could give you, there are so many stories, there's no time in the day to tell you all of the stories of innocent people that are being singled out and beaten within an inch of their lives. There's video after video online showing that. So meanwhile, yesterday, at least four police officers in Missouri were shot. One was killed in Las Vegas on Monday night. And so police are definitely under assault. There was a police line in St. Louis, and the shooters just came up and shot three of them. Now, they're not dead, those particular three. At this point, they're not dead. They were shot. The police chief, of course, was shocked about it all. But the one in Las Vegas, he was a U.S. Marshal. He was outside the federal courthouse in Las Vegas, Nevada, and he was shot dead. And so this is where I want to talk to Bruce for a second. My husband, Bruce, as you probably know, is a former supervisory special agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. In his period of time serving this country, he worked, you know, bank robberies, kidnappings, murders, street gangs in Los Angeles. He then ended up in Washington, D.C., working his last assignment there. Well, he did polygraph also for criminals, but he also spent his time in where the FBI enforces against, does investigations into their own. In other words, corruption within the FBI. Or misbehavior of FBI agents. He was part of that adjudication process. And so he's had tons of experience. And I've asked him to join us this morning. Good morning, honey. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
All right, Bruce, I know that you have watched you've watched all of this. And I guess I would just ask, as you see things unfolding for the police, first of all, your thoughts about the policeman who put the George Floyd in that chokehold. Just your thoughts about that incident.
Derek Chauvin, yeah. Absolutely despicable, absolutely criminal. It really did look as if it could be charged as a murder because of the length of time that he spent restricting Mr. Floyd with his knee. There's no justification at all for that. So For us that have been in law enforcement, it's sickening. And I, you know, normally you'll hear cops, they're pretty, we're pretty protective of our own. But I have yet to hear a single policeman or agent that I know defend in any way what was done to Mr. Floyd in Minneapolis.
Yeah, but so, but the wave is, again, it's, police have been under assault now since Barack Obama was president and since Eric Holder was attorney general. There's been this turning against police and then what's turned into an absolute attack, an all-out attack and an attempt to murder as many mm-hmm. of them as possible. By the way, in addition to the police that one that was killed in Las Vegas and then the three that were shot in St. Louis, four were shot in St. Louis, there were two attorneys in New York, one of them a graduate of Princeton, mm-hmm. Who threw Molotov cocktail into a cruiser of where four policemen were sitting. And so, that's right. I got
What happened is there's actually been two incidents with Molotov cocktails involving the NYPD. One was these two attorneys. They attempted to throw a Molotov cocktail into an unoccupied police cruiser, but and I don't mean to laugh, but apparently they weren't smart enough to be able to figure out how to light it. So they threw it in. It did not ignite. And they were later caught with the bomb-making materials and things in their car. The other incident, though, involved a cruiser with four police officers inside of it at the time, and somebody came and threw a Molotov cocktail inside the cruiser.
We talked about that yesterday, and I'm sorry I got those confused. Yes, it was a woman, and her. It looks like her younger sister was complicit, mm-hmm. a white girl. You'd look at her picture, and you'd say, yeah. You know, why she doesn't look like an anarchist. It's not the first time she's been arrested, but she's been charged with attempted murder.
Right.
So, all right. So, what we've had is an outbreak of violence against police. We've just mm-hmm. talked about a couple of incidences here. One of them, last night, Bruce, I don't know if you saw this, a black SUV ran through a series of policemen, yes. And they ran in like what would you call? Yeah.
They rammed an SUV through a group of police officers and National Guardsmen that were on duty, and it's a symptom of what's going on out there. I mean,
and it was horrible to watch.
Absolutely.
One just flew, and the other I don't know if he's. He's still alive, but he was, I think, in critical condition, and so mm-hmm. is the second one.
Yeah. And it's just, it's astounding to me to see the hatred for the police. And, you know, let me tell you, this hatred, this fomented hatred, did not just start because of what happened to George Floyd. That may have been a trigger, but I think people are kidding themselves if they try to say this is all based on what happened to George Floyd. That nothing could be further than the truth. This Floyd incident triggered this, but you see the hate in these people. I mean, the incidents that Sandy was describing earlier, people being kicked on the ground, and that doesn't just happen because of what happened to Mr. Floyd. That is stuff that has been pumped into people's heads, whether it be at school, in churches that are weak. Not that they're teaching that in church, but churches don't teach people to be accountable anymore enough. We see that things that aren't just spontaneous. There's a deep undercurrent that's driving this movement. I think when we come back, we should talk about things that are happening that just aren't coincidences, like bricks showing up in places where it just so happens there's private property to be smashed, things of that nature.
Yeah, and it looks like there's an orchestrated effort to take those bricks in. We saw a video of a black girl running to this car and saying, "Why are you white folk giving these black men these bricks? Don't you know that they could lose their lives? What are you doing?" Yeah. They get into an argument. Yeah. It's really amazing, the stuff that's happening. We're going to try to bring you at least a little smattering of it. Sandy Rios, along with my husband Bruce, this morning, discussing all that we're seeing unfold. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Then Elisha prayed and said, "Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. One morning, Elisha's young servant went out first thing and saw the Syrian army surrounding Elisha's hometown. The servant was racked with fear and cried out to Elisha, "What will we do?" Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. There are more with us than are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, open this young man's eyes." The servant then saw the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire. As opposition mounts in our lives, fear not. The Lord who is in us and with us is greater than the hostility present in the world.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
When trouble comes, even when I may not know why or how to deal with it, if I run to God and I cling to Him and hold on to Him with all of my heart, then the trouble won't be between God and me. The trouble will be in the outside of both of us, and the pressure will push me tighter to Him.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, When Your World Falls Apart, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Ryan DeFrady's secret agent is back.
What is it, boss? Ninjas? An army of robotic sharks?
Ryan and his mom, or partner, overcome obstacles.
Hang in there, honey!
And outlaws.
I'm ready.
In some very unlikely settings. Kids from 6 to 12 will love these animated adventures. And they'll hardly know they're learning about forgiveness, telling the truth, and respecting authority.
Gross.
Available now at afastore.net.
Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Brian Fisher here with an excerpt from the Boy to Man book for fathers to read with their 12-year-old sons. Here is Winston Churchill during the darkest hours of World War II. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except the convictions of honor and good sense, end quote. Whether it's an academic challenge, an athletic challenge, a romantic disappointment, or a setback in work or career, don't throw in the towel. Wipe the sweat and blood from your brow and get back in the ring. As Proverbs says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Order a copy of the Boy to Man book today as a Father's Day gift at afastore.net, afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Every public official in America has sworn an oath to defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Yet, it's long been taboo even to acknowledge that we may have domestic enemies. Today, such willful blindness is not only untenable, it can be fatal. Night after night, we've witnessed such enemies operating under the banner of seditious entities like the Marxist anarchist Antifa. They have violently exploited legitimate protests to sow chaos and endanger public safety. It's particularly troubling that Minnesota, the state first afflicted with such attacks, has as its top law enforcement officer, Attorney General Keith Ellison, a man with a long history of publicly associating himself with Antifa, other radical leftist and Muslim Brotherhood operatives. We must be clear-eyed about the reality that we do have enemies, foreign and domestic, and protect our country and Constitution against them all. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We're all here together, okay? I know that was hard to understand, but let me just say that yesterday, you can, in the video, and by the way, it's in Breitbart, we can post this on our Facebook page. There's a young black kid, he's got a mask over his face. He's probably, I don't know, 13 maybe. And he's weeping. He's just weeping. And the policeman says, look at me. Look at me. I feel your pain. I feel your pain too, okay? I feel your pain. We're here with you all. We're going to help you, okay? Right? And then the policeman takes him in his arms and the kid weeps. You know, this is, I was just thinking about the story. Justice Thomas in his movie talks about the turning point in his life when he got involved with the Black Panthers and the radical movement. And he went to, he started engaging with them, and he began to experience, I don't know the details, but violence, and how he, when he left the event, he walked through this quiet courtyard, and it just felt God speaking to him, this is wrong, I can't do this. And it was a real turning point in his life. Now, I think, you know, we saw yesterday a Black girl almost weep too, when she saw this white anarchist spray painting a Black Lives Matter on the side of a Starbucks, I think it was. And she said, they're going to blame it on us. Don't do that. They're going to blame it on us. And she starts to, you can see the emotion. This, we are not even considering what's happening to Black young people who are still tender, who have a conscience, who come from good families. And this is a defining moment. And I guess the thing to do is that we pray that that they look, as I said, I've said all week, my theme, and my theme will continue to be, that this is a battle against evil, which has nothing to do with color. It is the wicked, deep, dark-heartedness of all of us, the reason we needed a Savior. And so those of us that know the Lord Jesus especially need to bond together with people of every stripe. I don't even want to talk about color and race. We know who we are. We're the family of God. And we need to seek justice for everyone. There's been injustice against police. There's certainly been injustice against the Black community. And we need to seek justice together, but we need to do it in truth. You know, I don't think the way to do this is to, I'm going to speak about race in terms of our Black brothers and sisters, to let our white guilt make us be dishonest with them. Because there's some that they have to own up with. We've got the Black population in this country, I don't know what the percentage, I'll just say 15-20%. It's probably more than that now. And yet Black and Hispanic men, you know, perpetrate probably 85% of the crime. And so there's a problem in the Black community with crime, and you can't hardly blame policemen for jumping to conclusions. But see, then of course we know that then we have a George Floyd who's caught in this crosshairs and loses his life because of it. We have to be people committed to God's justice, not social justice, not Black Lives Matter justice, but justice, truth for everyone, regardless of color. My husband is with me this morning. Bruce, I want to just say a couple of more things. I'm sorry, there's just so much information this morning. The Deputy Commissioner for Intelligence and Counterterrorism, John Miller, said that there's a high level of confidence within the New York Police Department that these unnamed groups had organized scouts, medics, supply routes of rocks, bottles, accelerants for breakaway groups to commit vandalism and violence. And there's strong indicators that they've planned this in advance using, at times, encrypted communications. Bernard Carrick says the same thing. He shows a map. He said, does anyone truly believe this was not organized? And he said, who is paying for this? By the way, Antifa members are being taught to pee and defecate in a bucket and then to throw it on the police. And last but not least, yesterday, Chinese American, I believe she's American, Jennifer Zeng, tweeted and sent audio of a Chinese Mandarin, a guy speaking Mandarin Chinese outside the White House, shouting in Mandarin Chinese, go, go, hurry up, leave quickly. And she's saying, we've got to investigate what kind of role the Chinese Communist Party is playing in all of this. And with that, Bruce, your comments on any of that?
Well, I think one of the most stunning things to me is how this situation is being manipulated by so many people, including the press. I think what's happening here is these left-wing anarchist groups are taking advantage of the Black population that is trying to vent their frustration about police brutality, but their protest, and look, there's people that are way over the line in the Black community too, but the peaceful protest is trying to be mounted by Black people to voice their feeling of injustice is being hijacked by these leftist groups who are stoking the flames. If you look at the makeups of these groups that are rioting, actually, in many cases, very few of the people are black. Tons of them are white kids. And you see how angry they are and how vicious they are, like Sandy described in that attack on that gentleman
in Portland.
And here's the thing. What Sandy was just talking about things being provided to get this thing going. You know, I had different friends from around the country, some in Dallas, one in Chicago, talk about all of a sudden pallets of bricks were being dropped in areas that there's no construction going on. You don't see that. All of a sudden, you know, 3,600 bricks are delivered to a street corner where there's businesses, but there's no construction going on. Now, why do you think those bricks are there? Those bricks are being given to people to throw into businesses. Now, those bricks are paid for by someone. Those bricks are ordered by someone. They're provided by someone. Now, you know, if you somebody just doesn't pay for a pallet of bricks that, you know, off the cuff. This is one of these things where this is, as Sandy was just mentioning, Bernard Carrick and people are discovering that this is a very well-orchestrated effort. And to think that this is just a grassroots protest that's going on across our country is really a mischaracterization. You know, and I'll tell you what, I it's easy to pick on CNN as a conservative, but I will tell you, last night I watched their coverage in addition to Fox and other news, and it is a parallel universe what's being said at CNN. The entire focus of CNN is to blame this on President Trump, say that he called people thugs and that's why they're angry, say that he's riling up the police to crack heads and things like that. You know, the function of government, when you really get down to it, is to preserve peace and protect property and protect lives. And President Trump, from what I can see, is trying to take the measures to do that. But the political side of this is that these Democratic governors and mayors want nothing to do with being identified with President Trump, even at the expense of seeing their own cities and states be torn down. You know, it's talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. These people are willing. It's almost like with the coronavirus, how they won't reopen. That is a political thing. We have science that shows you can open up at least part of these states and be fine. Same thing with this. They will not give an inch to allow Donald Trump to insert any kind of help so that these people don't feel indebted to him.
Yes, and I think, as I said yesterday, I had to remind myself, Bruce, we knew, many of us knew, because we have our finger on the pulse of things, that they were planning riots this summer because it was right before the election, and we knew that they were going to try to do as much disturbance as possible. You know, we saw it right after the inauguration of President Trump. Well, at the inauguration.
Yeah.
You and I were both there. We saw the beginnings of this, the Women's March and all of that. There weren't riots, but it was this horrendous. What do you think these words bring about? Like the words of Madonna about blowing up the White House and about the hatred that was spewed on that stage and expressed in the streets of D.C. He was just coming into office. So, but the thing of it is, the seeds were sown in the language then. And they've been gearing up for this for a long time. In fact, not just with President Trump, Occupy Wall Street demonstrations under President Obama, who was very happy to have it happen that way. And by the way, I have an article about his part in all of this, and I just didn't get to it this morning. Eric Holder, they're pleased as punch, I can guarantee you, because this is the work of leftists. This is a dream for them. And they are trying to destroy the president, yes. Yes, but that's very small compared to what they are really trying to do,
they're trying to destroy our system of democracy. Yeah. This is the Communist Manifesto being attempted to be played out in front of us, overthrow our government. And, you know, the United States really is basically the last bastion of defense for much of the world against communism, socialism being made worldwide. And we've all seen, no matter where you go, we have all seen the results of when a country goes communist or socialist. It does not work, and it descends into chaos. You think we're having trouble now? You let our country become communist and see what happens if these people get in charge.
Yeah, and I want to say something, too. Maybe we will open the phone lines this week. Not this morning, obviously, because there just isn't time. But to my black brothers and sisters, I recognize, because I lived through the riots of the 60s. When I was a kid, I saw the dogs turned on black Americans. I lived through all of that. I was just a kid, but I could hardly bear it. And I understand, at least as much as I can, the wounds of that community. We bear the burden and the scars, this country does, of slavery and of racism. We do. And the sins of the fathers are revisited, you know, on the children. That doesn't mean God holds us responsible for our fathers' sins, but we inherit the results of their sin. And so this is what we've got. But I would think, I've certainly seen with my own eyes, this incredible healing. We did get rid of slavery. We lost thousands and thousands of lives fighting over that. We got rid of it. We turned everything around. There was terrible racism for several decades. I lived through that. But I think we've come such a long way there. The black middle class has grown so much. When you go to universities, you know, it's the black students who are flourishing. Jobs are theirs to be had. We have so many celebrities that are so highly respected. The black community has thrived. And I just want to say, if in the guise of the wounds of the past, you cooperate in this anarchist movement, you are going to destroy the gains of your own community. And because we are all Americans, we are in this together. We are brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about Jesus now. That's a different category. But in terms of our living here, we share this soil. You don't belong to Africa. You belong here. This is your home and your children's home. And we are in this fight together against those that would destroy us from the outside. And so I'm just encouraging you to think of it differently as we kind of join arms and fight. I think we can still beat them. I do. Do you think so, Bruce? Are we too far?
No, I never think we're too far, at least at this point. The thing people have to wake up to is that they have to understand that they are being used as pawns in a very, very dangerous game here. I think over the years it's borne out that rioting does not benefit anyone. When I grew up in Chicago, they burned down the West Side in riots, and it's never been rebuilt. And people have suffered ever since then.
Yeah,
so don't let people use you to carry out their political agenda. People like George Soros, do you think they care about the black community? They couldn't give a rat's fanny about the black community. They are using this as a means to accomplish their leftist views.
Yes, absolutely. We can see it in the headlines, and we see it in the black community. Is there many of them? I've on camera, on different tweets, I've seen them kind of their eyes open. This is not what we bargained for, just like George Floyd's brother yesterday. This is not what he would want. This is not related. What are you doing? You're destroying your own communities. And so we all just need to pray. There's nothing God can't do. And we do trust him, don't we? All right, honey, thank you for joining me. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.